Hello, everybody. Welcome back once again to another episode of Inside Inter Miami, the Miami Herald show about all things Inter Miami. I'm your host, Andre Fernandez, deputy sports editor at the Herald, joined once again by our Inter Miami sports writer, Michelle Kaufman, doing the pistolero thing. Mixed week, because some bad, some good. The bad, obviously, they're out of the Champions Cup. Poor performance. Monterrey dominated the match, unceremoniously kicked out in Mexico late at night on that Wednesday night. But Messi and company bounce back on the weekend and make a dent in the MLS standings with a dominant performance of their own against Sporting Kansas City. So let's go over the highs and lows. Michelle, tell us a little bit about this team that, you know, 1 minute can't seem to get it to put it together, even with Messi on the field. The next minute, Messi looks glorious, like what everybody hoped for with that bounce back performance.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that Monterrey series was pretty much, it was just a disaster for them, to be honest. It was too emotional. There was too much drama. And Monterrey was better. You know, let's face it, Monterrey is a deeper team. You know, even with Inter Miami stars playing, you know, they still did not have the depth to keep up with Monterrey. The first game they did okay, you know, 2-1. They did okay. But the second game was difficult, and in every way. I mean, the crowd was chanting Ronaldo. The crowd was booing every time Messi touched the ball. You know, that's something unusual. Playing in Mexico is very, very difficult, as they found out. Some of the players on this team have never experienced anything like that. And it was just, you know, it was – they. The beginning was okay, but then the second half completely fell apart, completely unraveled. Every minute seemed to get worse than the last. And then Tata didn't make any substitutions, which was very odd. I asked him about it, and he said, well, at the position we were in, by that time, he said, when they were already down 2 goals and they already had to make up 2 from the week before, they would have had to score 4 goals. Late in the second half. And he said it just wasn't worth it to put the young players who are on the bench in that very difficult position. So he just, you know, kept the players that he had, which I thought was a little odd because, first of all, the field was terrible condition. There were little pieces, chunks of field were flying all over the place.
Yeah,
it was dangerous to me. To me, it seemed dangerous for them to be playing out there. So to leave all of your highest priced players, and I'm not saying you should, you know, sacrifice that young players should get injured either, but you're talking about older guys who had already been playing for, you know, more than a half on that terrible field. To leave them out there for 90 minutes, I thought was kind of risky. But anyway, they survived, they got through it. And the best thing that could have happened, the absolute best thing that could have happened, is that they had a game 3 days later, in front of 72,000 people. So it wasn't just a run-of-the-mill MLS game that they're coming back to early in the season, you know, sort of, you know, not an urgent type game this early in the year, but a game with 72,000 people at Arrowhead Stadium. Patrick Mahomes was there, you know, it was an occasion. It was an occasion, that game, even though it was, you know, it was a Kansas City team that's not at the top of the table in the West, but, you know, a decent team in front of 72,000 people at one of the crown jewels of the NFL stadiums. And that was enough to fire up this team. I mean, I think they were able to put Monterrey and Mexico behind them and just say, okay, you know, we're done. Champions Cup is done. Monterrey is done. All of the drama with, you know, the team did get fined, by the way. Inter Miami got fined for the little hallway argument dispute the week before with the Monterrey coaching staff. So they were able to put all that in the rearview mirror. Messi was Messi. Messi came out and played like Messi, as you said. I mean, a goal, an assist, an absolutely beautiful goal from far out, just a perfectly struck ball. And then the assist he had on Gomez was incredible too. It was just the vision that he has and the decisiveness and, you know, the ability to see exactly where there's a sliver of an opening, send the ball on a diagonal, and then Diego Gomez, to make a really, really nice finish on that goal. And then Luis Suarez got back to his scoring also. He scored a goal too, with a beautiful assist by Gomez. So it was, they were sort of back on all cylinders against Kansas City in front of 72,000 fans who, yes, they were cheering for Kansas City, but they were not relentlessly booing for Messi. They were not chanting Ronaldo. It was an occasion for them to get back on track, which they did. They're back on top. Inter Miami is first place now in the MLS standings. They had dropped a little bit. They raised back up to first place. And, Messi looked like Messi. He looked healthy. He scored. He looked happy. Suarez scored. Gomez is scoring. Things are on the up and up. Things are on the up and up after a very spicy, dicey, contentious, and, in the end, an ugly exit from the Champions Cup.
Very, as ugly as that field was, because you're right, that especially in the middle, where so much activity, so many scoring chances come out of that middle of the field, right in front of their goal, of Monterrey's goal. It looked terrible even on TV. Like, you saw
Yeah, I mean, they came out,
patches of grass up.
and how about the guy coming out and filling in a hole during
Yeah,
the game?
during the
He
match.
running out there during the game with some
I know.
sand to fill a divot. I mean, who's ever seen
Yeah.
that during a game? It
Yeah.
was it's hard to believe it. By the way, that is one of the World Cup sites for
Sites, yes.
2026, that
Yes,
stadium.
it is.
And the stadium
Beautiful
is
stadium.
beautiful. I mean, the
Yeah.
stadium and that view with the mountain, and I mean, the
Amazing.
stadium is first class. The stadium is but they are going to absolutely have to fix that turf because that
Yeah.
was a disaster.
Yeah,
Disaster.
teams are not gonna want to play there. And it was about as ugly. And not to I love Drake Callender, I love him to death, but God,
Oof.
he's gotta be kicking himself, because that was like a video game mistake. Like, that giveaway that started the avalanche for Monterrey there in the first half. I mean,
Yeah,
I
I don't know
almost
if
turned
he
the
didn't
TV
see
off.
the player. I know. I didn't know if he didn't see the player or he just mishit it with his foot. But I mean, he pretty much passed it to the
Yeah, right
opponent.
to
I
him.
mean, he pretty much gave an assist. He might as well have had
Yeah.
an assist on
I
that goal.
know. Yeah. But like you said, the timing factor at least is in their favor. This happened before. Now the positive happened on the after. Maybe they can build off of that. But the whole key is, how do they continue to try and replicate that success they had in Kansas City? Like you said, the legends were on form. Some of the younger guys chipped in. Now Messi voted MLS Player of the Week.
Yes,
Suarez
player of the week.
scoring. Yeah.
Yeah,
I
he
mean,
got
how do they
player of the
replicate
week.
that?
Diego Gomez got team of the week also.
Yeah.
Messi, I just saw on the announcement of the player of the week that he's the first player ever to get 5 goals and 5 assists in his first 5 games of a season.
There
That
you
has
go.
never happened in MLS history. So
Yeah.
he has played 5 games, MLS games. He's had 5 goals, 5 assists, 5 games.
Well,
Which
it's
is
what you'd
really, really
right.
impressive.
It's what you'd expect,
Really.
though. If someone is going to shatter records like that, who else, right? I mean,
It
that's what
should
you
be
got him
him. Yeah.
for.
And then Suarez has 6 goals in 8 games for MLS. Six
Yeah.
goals in 8 games. He has 7 goals or 8 goals, actually 9 goals, I think, overall with counting a Champions Cup. And then Diego Gomez has really looked good. Last year he was a little up and down, I felt, when he brought him in. They brought him in and said he was very, very good, this young Paraguayan talent. He was up and down. This year, he started with the Paraguayan national team. He was the player of the tournament in the Olympic qualifying tournament. He was the player of the tournament. He scored the most goals. I think he had 6 goals in that tournament. And he's a big, big star in Paraguay now, getting ready for the Olympics. And he is showing it on the field with this team too. He's playing very, very, very well, making really good runs, finishing. He seems to be really sort of elevating his game this year compared to last year. So he's another one. Kermashi came back, by the way. There's so much going on that it's almost overlooked that this guy, who was such a big part of last year's team, had not played this year at all
Right.
with a hernia surgery. He was able to come back in this last game. It was great to see him for the Inter Miami fans to be able to see an energetic young midfielder, because that's what they need. They need those guys running around in the midfield and helping out Busquets, because Busquets is not the fastest guy. He's not going to be a motor running around box to box. He's the guy who sees the field, who delivers beautiful passes to Messi. And that's what they all need to do. They all need to just get the ball somehow, get the ball to Lionel Messi, and he does something with it. It's just incredible what he does. In fact, Peter Vermes, the coach from Kansas City, he said afterward, look, he said, we did what we could. I actually thought we played okay. And he said, but this Miami team does things. He said, let's face it, they do things that you just don't see in MLS. He said that, especially Messi, but the team in general, the way they can put things together, the way they can get a goal out of nothing, of seemingly nothing, the next thing you know, they score. And he said, the thing is, in most MLS games, the game goes back and forth, back and forth. Sometimes you score, sometimes you don't. He said, this team, he said, we pretty much gave the ball up three times, and all three times they capitalized and they punished us. And that is what a team with Lionel Messi, Busquets, Alba, and Suarez can do, is they can turn nothing into something very, very quickly. The only bad thing that came out of that game is Jordi Alba fell down at the end of the game. It was a non-contact injury, which is usually not a good sign. It was a non-contact. He just kind of fell and grabbed the back of his thigh. I don't know if it was cramp, it was a hamstring, something with his hamstring back there. When we spoke to Tata, we haven't gotten a chance to get any updates since. When we spoke to Tata after the game, he said he had not spoken to the doctors yet and did not know the extent of the injury. He did walk off the field okay. It's not like they had to carry him off or anything, but he may have injured a hamstring, which is becoming a recurring theme on this team. Like Campana is out now with a hamstring, and Christoph is out with a hamstring, and these guys are getting hamstring injuries left and right. And so if Jordy is out, that is going to be a big loss, because he has been playing on fire, a little bit too much fire against Monterrey, a little bit too much fire. Needed to squash that fire a little bit, but with the yellow cards. But yeah, we're waiting to find out still the extent of that injury to Jordi Alba, because that would be a very, very big loss.
It would. Yeah, it definitely would. And that's the problem too. And all these guys getting hammies, you don't want to have that happen, because then you know how those are. We don't know. I mean, it could take a few days, it could take weeks. Those are nagging injuries that tend to linger a little bit. So not good as these key pieces continue to fall. But going back to Diego, even European scouts have their eye on this kid. The way he's been playing, he's been really tearing it up. I mean, it's good to see. The one good thing too, not only Diego, but again, I know we keep talking about it, but the defensive side of this team too. I mean, even in the victory, two more goals allowed. This team continues to give up tons of goals, even though
they gave up
on
the
some
first
occasions they're
one.
winning.
Yeah, the first one was a giveaway.
I mean,
The
what can
first
they
one
address this?
was why get, just handed it to them in front of the goal. I mean, he not in front of the goal, but he lost the ball in the middle. He lost the ball, deep midfield, and they were able to just capitalize on that.
Well,
And yeah, there's too many
well,
giveaways, too many giveaways.
the Monterrey game, the same thing. I mean, I think it could have been even worse. There were a couple times where, I know we knocked Callander for the mistake, but he made a couple of good stops too that prevented that thing from getting a lot worse. Because again, like this team needs to fix this problem on the back row, because they are not going to win. They're not going to get to where they really want to get to, as much scoring as they have doing this. It's going to burn them at
Yeah, it's
some point.
very difficult to expect 3 goals per game. It's difficult to average 3 goals per game, but if you're giving up one or two every single game, and they are on mistakes. I mean, in the Monterrey game, it was Freire, got eaten alive in the back. This game, Weigand gives the ball up and then they score. They're on giveaways, and part of it is Tata's style is go, go, go. I mean, a lot of offense, a lot of attacking, and that's fine. But when you do that, there is the danger of then when you lose the ball, all of a sudden everyone has to race back because the other team is on the counter. And a lot of these goals that they give up are on the counter. And because some of the players that they have are not the fastest guys. Julian Gressel is not the fastest. Busquets is not the fastest. These are good players, but they're not guys that are going to be able to just race back 100 miles an hour to fix a mistake that somebody else makes. So, they need to cut down on the errors in the back and in the midfield, giving up the ball away, because they end up giving up goals on the counterattack, and that is really just lack of discipline, lack of speed in those areas, and just that the team is so, they're so offensive minded, which is really fun. I mean, that's what's fun about them, is that that they're all just trying to get the ball to the goat. It's like the goat is up there, Suarez is up there, let's get them the ball, let's go, let's go, let's go. And that's fun and that's exciting to watch. But there is a danger in that there are large pieces of the field, large sections of, when you watch, when they're on the attack, there are huge sections of the field that are open, wide open. And when the other team, it seems silly, it seems, of course, obvious to the naked eye. But when they're in the middle of the game and they're all racing forward and they're all looking at Messi and trying to get the ball to him, all of a sudden somebody slips through, and the next thing you know, oh, we better get back there. And they don't have the motors, they don't have the engines to get back there. Now with Cremaschi coming back, that is a guy who was that kind of player who runs around a lot. Wigan is supposed to be that kind of player also who runs around a lot. Redondo was doing it, although he was not known so much as a guy who does that, but he was really doing a lot of the running alongside Busquets when he before he got injured with his knee, and he's going to be out for, I think, a couple months. So yeah, that they need to clean up the mistakes. They need to clean up the mistakes. And if they do that, they definitely are a team. There's a reason that they're favored to win MLS Cup. There is a reason that they're favored to win MLS Cup. And we're seeing now what they can do. And it's a long road. I mean, it's a long season. We're only in April, and the season goes all
Yeah,
the way to November.
we're not even a third of the
No.
way there yet. Yeah.
Yeah,
When it comes to the
but they're
MLS
looking
season.
good. I mean, against Kansas City, they look good. 72,000 people, and now we have to see if they can keep it going.
I mean, only two teams have allowed more goals than them. The Portland Timbers, hello Phil Neville, and
Phil Neville.
the San Jose Earthquakes, who the common theme there, neither one, if it ended right now, neither one of those teams would make the playoffs. So that's the thing. Like, as much offense, and yes, the style will contribute to that, but this is worse than just the style right now. And they need to get this defensive issue in check if they really want to have a shot at, making a run and winning this thing.
Yeah, and especially, I mean, when they start to play, when they're playing against some of the top teams, when they're playing against some of the top teams who can turn those into goals better than Kansas City did, they're going to really have to step up on defense. They are, because that is their weak point. There's no question that is their weak point. It really has been ever since, forever. I mean, even when we're talking about, you're talking about Phil Neville's team in Portland too, giving up goals. They were giving up goals here in Miami too. And with Tata, it's even more of an offensive-minded team. I mean, Phil Neville was a defender as a player and tended to have a more defensive style. Tata was not a defender. He was an attacker as a player, and he likes that type of attack, which is great and fun. And you've got Leo Messi, and you've got Suarez, and you've got all these guys. You should use all that to your advantage. However, the back, they have not invested. They lost, in my opinion, losing Kamal Miller and losing DeAndre Yedlin. Those were two veteran guys from their national teams who they lost, and replace them with Freire and Weigand, who are both from Argentina. Surprise, surprise. Two guys from Argentina that Tata brought in because he likes Argentine players, and their whole coaching staff is from Argentina, and maybe they figure they'll mesh with Messi. But neither one of those guys is, they're not big time national team players yet on their teams. They're good players, but they've made some very costly mistakes too. So they really need to clean that up. Both of those guys need to get accustomed to this league too. They're both new. They're both new to MLS, which was not the case with Kamal Miller, and DeAndre Yedlin had played for a long time in MLS. They know the opponents. They know the forwards from the other teams and the midfielders and what they should watch for. These guys are brand new in the league. Wygant, we're talking about, he's been here 2 weeks. He's already been thrown to the fire. He's been thrown to Monterrey, 2 weeks in, thrown in. And Freire also is new to the league. So these are two guys who don't have MLS experience. They are maybe not yet at the level of their national teams. And, of course, their national team is the Argentine national team, which is a little different from, they might make the Canadian or the U.S. national team. They're not on the Argentine national team is a little bit tougher to make. But anyway, yeah, I think those guys need to get acclimated to the league. They need to get acclimated to Drake Callender. They need to get acclimated to each other. And, there's been a lot of rotation in the back with Noah Allen playing on the left, Noah Allen playing in the middle, Alba sitting out a game now. If Alba is injured now, it's going to be Noah Allen back to the left or Negri. They could bring in Negri. My opinion, Negri is a very good player. Last year, he showed a lot of flashes of what he can do. He's also a really good attacker. I mean, he can attack up the left side in the way that Jordi Alba does. So maybe they would put Negri as the starter there. It would be a Negri or Noah Allen starting on the left side for Jordi Alba. So we'll see what happens there.
Yeah. And Noah Allen at times, he's struggled. You could see it. Like, a little bit less experience than other guys would at that, playing that sort of, having that sort of responsibility.
Yeah. 19-year-old kid. Yeah, I mean, a 19-year-old kid from Pembroke Pines, the fact that he's on the team at all with this roster is really incredible. And Tata thinks a lot of him. Clearly, he's even tried to have him play in the middle because he wants him to be able to have minutes. And when Jordi Alba's playing, he's not going to be playing. And now when, if Negri is fully healthy and he may become the backup, the number two for Alba, or now the number one if Alba is injured. Tata does think a lot of Noah Allen. Noah is a good player. He's a smart player. He works hard. He does whatever is asked of him, and I know they like him a lot. It's a huge responsibility to be out there in Monterrey and to be in these really tough games. So, yeah, the back line, when you look at this team, it's top heavy. It's top heavy to the front. And the back line is the one where they have, skimped on salary. I mean, let's face it, other than Jordi Alba, the other guys in the back are the guys who are making less money. And the money is being spent on the people in the offensive positions.
Yeah. So when you look at this team, and I know this is going to change 22 ways from here to the end of the season. It seems like it changes week to week, injuries and whatnot, personnel moves. But saying that we've spoken about all this firepower, but yet these defensive issues, as it stands right now, do you feel like they have enough to win the MLS Cup, or is it still kind of, is the hype kind of living up to the hype, or is it, or these, or should the people really worry about these defensive struggles?
I would worry about the defensive struggles. I mean, I think they definitely have enough. I think they can contend for the MLS Cup, and at the very least, they should contend. I mean, anything less than that would be a complete failure. They didn't make the playoffs last year at all. This year, just making the playoffs is not going to be enough. That is not going to be enough. When you've got this lineup in MLS, when you've got Peter Vermees saying like, this team, this, what they do, no other team really can do this in MLS, what they can put together out of nothing. And Messi, I mean, the guy is just unfreaking believable.
Yeah. When With you all the watch defensive him, attention he gets, and he still does what he does, it's insane.
He has guys all around him all the time. Everybody knows. Everyone on the other team knows who the target is. They know. Right. And Peter Vermees said before the game, we're not going to be able to stop him. What we have to do is stop the pass before him.
This is like
Jim Curtin has said the same thing.
You mentioned Patrick Mahomes. This is like if Patrick Mahomes was getting an all-out blitz on every play and still just hitting dimes, just every single play though.
And every single play. Yeah. They know. Everyone knows who he is. Everyone knows where he is. The other team prepares to cut off the delivery. Don't let the tray get to him on the silver platter, because then he will, he's going to deliver quite an entree. So, the goal of the other team is don't let him have the ball. Cut off the delivery. And even when they try to cut off the delivery, once he touches the ball, he needs no time. Other players get the ball And then they start dribbling, and then they start looking around to see, okay, I have the ball now. Okay, I'm dribbling now. I'm going to see what I'm going to do. No, Messi, Leo Messi, you see it time and again. The second the ball hits his foot or any part of his body, it's instant. It's like instantaneous. I say it looks like a ping pong, I mean, a pinball machine, a really fast pinball machine where the second the ball hits his foot, he gets rid of it. He gets rid of it so quickly and so precisely. So precisely. It's not just like he, gets rid of it, boom, whatever. He gets rid of it and it lands exactly where it needs to be, on pace, in the right place for the other player, for his teammate. And then sometimes they just give it back to him and then he scores. So, the things that he can do and the things that he can do mean that, yes, this team is definitely a team that should contend for the MLS Cup. But are they guaranteed? Am I saying this is a walk in the park to the MLS Cup? No, absolutely not. Do I think that they are like big time favorites to win MLS Cup? I wouldn't even say that either. I would say they are favorites to win MLS Cup, that with a lineup that they have, they should win MLS Cup. I would be very worried though about how many goals they give up. Like you said, they have given up the third most goals in the entire league. And one of those two is San Jose Earthquakes, which is way down at the bottom of the Western Conference. It's a team that's in complete disarray. And then, Phil's team in Portland has given up a lot of goals, even though they're kind of middle of the pack, I think, in the West now. Again, both of those are not playoff teams. So you're talking about the first place team in the East, yes, but giving up the number of goals as teams that are not even in the playoffs. That is a recipe for some losses along the way. They're not going to keep getting lucky. And by the way, let's not forget, Copa America is coming up on June 20th to July 14th. And Lionel Messi wants to play for Argentina. And there will be, a
Oh, wow.
preparation camp before Copa America, which means between the preparation camp and Copa America, 5 weeks, there are going to be games there that the GOAT will not be grazing on the fields of Inter Miami. The GOAT is going to be grazing in the United States in some of the same stadiums wearing the
I'm not
Argentine
there.
national shirt.
Right.
Yeah. So they're going to lose. They're going to lose Messi. They're going to lose probably Diego Gomez will be playing for Paraguay. I don't know about if Campana is healthy, but he could be also gone for Ecuador. Drake Callender could be gone for the United States if he ends up being one of their keepers for Copa America also. There are going to be several players that are going to be missing, key players during the month of from June 20th to July 14th, depending how far teams
Even
go.
before,
And the
even before,
Argentine team, huh?
even
And even
before, even
before
before with the preparation camp, yeah.
with the preparation camps. So, this team is not going to have its full roster. This team is not going to
Not
have
even
its full
close.
roster at mid-June to mid-July for about 5 weeks there. They're going to
Yeah.
have to do with other players. And if they drop some points there during that period, we saw what happened last year. If they drop some points and then, Messi and the other guys come back, July 20th, let's say Argentina were to get to the final of Copa America, and then he comes back after July 20th, all of a sudden it's almost August. And then guess what comes? Leagues Cup, ding, ding, ding. Leagues Cup, ding, ding, ding. I mean, all of a sudden, your summer is pretty much Copa America missing some guys, and then Leagues Cup, where they're going to be playing in Leagues Cup. The schedule is going to be very cramped. They want to win that because they want to defend their title in that.
Right.
So again, they're going to have some scheduling issues. They may have some injury issues,
I was gonna
and
say
it's
they
going to be difficult to stay on top.
right.
It's going to be difficult to stay on top. Yeah.
We're assuming he's gonna play in all of this with the injuries and all of that. You never know, something could happen too. Not, just the nature of the beast playing that many matches in succession.
Yeah, so the idea that, oh, they're on top and they're in first place, that could be short-lived. That could be
Yep.
short-lived. And he's gonna wanna He definitely wants to play Copa America. I don't think he's
Yeah,
going to
come
kill
on.
himself in the last few games before that. That is definitely a target for him. So he's going to play now, but then as they get toward June, watch for a slowdown. Watch for a slowdown of some of these guys as they prepare for Copa America. And then Leagues Cup is going to come, so the schedule is going to get crowded again, and Tata's going to have to decide again, okay, we have a Leagues Cup game on Wednesday, we have an MLS game on Saturday. Which one am I going to prioritize? He always says he's going to prioritize the more urgent one. So, they're going to be having some makeshift lineups again
Right.
in the summer, and that is where they could lose some points. And then when they come back with full squad, if nobody's injured, and that's a big, 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 big if
Yeah.
everyone comes out of all of these summer things healthy, then they basically have 2 months to try to stay on top or get on top if they've dropped. So it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be
Yeah.
easy.
And that's the shame of it is like you can't just turn this team loose at all times. There's always it's always like they're playing with one arm tied behind their back because of an injury or because of tournaments or national commitments, you name it. I mean, but that's the way it is most of the time around the world. I think again, I go back to how if you're watching this and you're an MLS fan, maybe you've already kind of acclimated to it, but maybe you're new, a lot, there's a lot of new soccer fans or fans of soccer that have tuned in more now because of Messi that are kind of just realizing this is the nature of it. This is what teams deal with all the time around the world, especially the elite teams when you're on this level and you get invited to all the top tournaments or you qualify for all the top tournaments, I should say. And you have these elite caliber players, especially at
Yeah,
this
and you
point
have
in their
national
career.
team players across your
Yeah.
roster. You've
Yeah.
got,
It happens.
this team has
But
nine.
this
This team
team,
has nine national team players. Even some of the
And
ones that
that's the
are on
thing.
smaller, even, Schneider Bourgeois is on the Haitian national team. I mean,
Right.
you've got guys where when it's a FIFA window, they potentially lose nine players of their team. So,
By no means are they the only team that's going to be depleted. But they're arguably the team that's going to feel the hit so much more because of the caliber of players they're losing. And that's the
Yeah,
biggest
it's
thing is
like
how do they
you're
handle it?
losing Messi. You're
Right.
losing Lionel Messi, the best player in the world.
Right off the
The
top.
other teams, right off the top, if every team in MLS were to lose their top scorer, it's still not Messi. You know what I mean? Like,
Right. No,
even
exactly.
if you lose Lewis Morgan, I love Lewis
Yeah.
Morgan, but New York
Right, but it's
loses Lewis
not.
Morgan, that's fine. That's not losing. I mean, it is to their team. He's their
Yeah.
leading scorer, but you're losing one of the best players of all time when you're losing Lionel Messi, this team. And then, all these
Well,
other
then you
guys.
and
So,
these other guys aren't super far behind either. These are high caliber
right.
players too. Yeah.
So it's going to be
That's
interesting to see what happens. It's a long road, but it's going to be
yeah.
interesting. It really is. There's that's why I say, it's not a shoe-in. It's not like, oh, this team is so good and they're crushing everybody and they're going to win everything. No,
Right. You can't say, yeah.
it's going to be a long haul. It's going to be a long haul that starts with this next game against
Yeah.
Nashville. And by the way, we'll
Yeah.
finish with this, but Nashville has always been so good,
They're
such a good
in
team, and
bad
they've
shape.
always had very close games. They all
Yeah.
the games with Nashville last year were by one goal. Everything is by one goal. Their coach, Gary Smith, I absolutely think is one of the top coaches in MLS, and yet they are having a very down year this year. I'm not really sure exactly what's happening with them. They only have one win. They
Yep,
have
only
one
one
win in the whole
victory,
season.
7 points right now. One win.
Yes,
And then if you
yes.
look at them, it's very interesting because they still seem to be competitive. I mean, just taking Champions Cup, they had the draw in the first matchup with Inter Miami. Then Inter Miami came back and kind of dominated them, got the 3-1 win. But I'm looking at some of their MLS results. They tied the Galaxy, and we know the Galaxy is back to kind of being the Galaxy again this year. They tied the Columbus Crew, but then they turn around and get destroyed by LAFC 5-0. So they just have not been consistent enough. And we know this team depends more on the defensive side, but they're again
Yeah,
one of
they
those
love
teams that's given
ties.
up a
They do
lot.
like ties.
But
Yeah,
they've
they
given up
do
a lot
like
of goals.
ties.
But they've
They've
given up a
given
lot
up
of
a
goals
lot of
this year.
goals.
That's the crazy
Right.
part.
Well, and
So,
so, coming into this game with Miami firing the way they were against Kansas City, if they can keep that up, if they play the same lineup, and again, we don't know about Jordi Alba, but if Lionel Messi, we don't know yet. Obviously, we never really know until the day before, but if he likes to play, he loves to play, and he's feeling healthy, and he's coming off a great game. Assuming if he plays against Nashville and Suarez and Gomez and all these guys, with Nashville struggling the way they are, This is another chance for them to get 3 points at home and to really build on, to build in the MLS standings and to try to break away a little bit and separate
Build the
themselves
cushion.
from the other teams at the top. They're right now sort of up there with 12 points with the Red Bulls. So if they get 3 more points, they can try to make a separation there, which I think they're going to need. I think their goal is going to be get as many points as they can right now at the beginning of the season, because then Tata knows the same thing we've been talking about. There's going to be a gap there in the summer where they're going to have to mix and match and miss players, and they could drop some points there. And they need to get as many points as they can when they can. So a home game against a struggling Nashville team with only one loss, I mean only one win, that's a game that is very winnable right now.
Yeah, and that's another one similar to a few weeks ago, the New York City FC game, a blown opportunity, honestly, to only get a draw there.
Yes.
Those are the games you need to build a cushion, and that's all it is about. When you're facing that month, more than a month chunk of time where you're going to be without Messi and a bunch of other guys, they need to build this. They need to stack up all those points so that the perceived fall, if there is a fall later on, won't be as bad, and then you don't have to be in desperation mode when you come out the back end, having to deal with juggling that and the League's Cup and everything else down the stretch. So let's see how they
Yeah.
handle it. They need this 3 points. I mean, and Nashville will not. I'm telling you, that game. Watch, it's Nashville. We talked about it a few weeks ago. There's a little bit of that bad blood there between those two teams.
They have a good
Yeah,
rivalry with that team.
that's
They
not going to
do. They
be.
do.
I don't think that's going to be 4-5-0 or something like that. This is going to be a competitive game.
Yeah. They've always had very, very close games with them. So I'm predicting this will be another one. And like I said, Gary Smith, he's a good coach. He usually is a very good tactician. That's why I am surprised. I even saw his name as coaches on the hot seat, in something I saw on Twitter, whatever, which, whatever. That's just people saying whatever. But I mean, people were saying Tata should be fired. I mean, after the Monterrey game, unbelievable what was being said about Tata, and the memes and the things about Tata that I saw were, wow, they were
Yeah.
ouch. It was like Mexico level. You know how they just rotate, they throw away their coaches after one loss,
Right.
one bad loss.
Yeah, I was
There
gonna
were
say.
people calling for Tata. There are a lot of people calling for Tata's head. So
Yeah.
this win against Kansas City, I think it quieted some of that. But they need to keep that going because, there are some people who are not in love with Tata, some of the fans, and this murmur started. But I saw Gary Smith, coach on the hot seat, and I was like, wow, Gary Smith, this guy's
Yeah.
been arguably one of the best coaches in this league for years, not just now, I
Right.
mean, for years. And I found that hard to believe because I find him to
Well,
be a very good coach.
Michelle, if we think that coaches in leagues in the United States, like in the NFL, are usually on the hot seat after like 2 seasons or whatever, in soccer, it's unforgiving sometimes. I mean, you can have a
You
rough
lose to one
patch
game to your worst rival and you're out.
and you're
Yeah.
out, or you can have a rough patch of maybe one bad month or something like that, and all of a sudden you're getting the hook. I mean,
Yep.
it's unforgiving sometimes. And yeah, it would be a shame because he is a good coach and deserves a chance to turn this thing around. And there's plenty of season left for Nashville. So who knows? I mean, this team,
And
and
they have
again,
good players. They have good
yeah,
players.
they're good, the good players. And like I was telling you before, really, you look at their last few games, still playing competitive soccer. They're getting a few draws here and there. Good teams too, against Philadelphia, the Galaxy, teams like that. So they may not be that far off, and that's the danger too, because they sneak in a win this weekend. That could turn their whole season around.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it should be fun. It should be a fun game. 7:30, the weather's supposed to be great. The weather has been spectacular. For anyone who's not in Miami, the weather here has been unbelievable this week. It's been dry, it's been sunny. So I think it's going to be a beautiful day for a game on Saturday.
Definitely. So we hope you can catch that game, whether you're watching it or you actually can afford to go to it. Joke. But anyway,
Not so much of a joke.
not so much of a joke, actually, if you look at those prices. But anyway, we'll be back next week. We'll be recapping this Nashville result and looking ahead to what's next for Inter Miami. But we'd like to thank you. Remember, as always, you can watch this on YouTube or at MiamiHerald.com. You can catch us if you're only listening to it. On iTunes, Spotify, whatever your favorite podcatcher may be. But for Michelle Kaufman, I'm Andre Fernandez. Thanks for joining us once again. We'll see if the Pitoletto scores one more time. And hopefully Messi plays and does something. Until
This is the
then,
messy one. I'm doing the
there
messy
you,
one
oh
now for the
yeah.
messy.
Like the giving thanks,
Looking
looking
up.
up.
He gives up to, it's his grandmother. It's a tribute to his grandmother, who's the one who got
That's
him into
true.
the
That's
game.
correct.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Tribute to
Well,
grandma.
now you got to
Tribute
do
to
this one
abuela.
and that one. There you
Yeah.
go. You're
Tribute
going
to
back to back.
abuelita. Okay.
Abuelita.
All
There you
right.
go. So we'll see you guys next week. Thanks for watching once again another episode of Inside Inter Miami. Until then, take care.